When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So things really feel much better in Tallahassee since our last episode. Since then, I guess I should welcome you in. It's the Seminole Softball Wrap, Brian Peller and Gwen Rhodes, covering FSU softball. That's pretty much what all this is. If you're new to the program, thank you. But since that last episode, in case you haven't been connected, that was at the end of March. I think I compared it to the Tale of Two Cities, like, because it was depending on how you looked at the team. Were they succeeding in good matchups because they were talented, or because they were just good matchups for them? Since then, they're 13-1, back in first place in the ACC, and most recently with a huge run rule win over Florida. Certainly seem like they are in the mix to potentially host a regional. A lot, I guess, to cover in those 14 games. It's been a busy few weeks. Gwen got to travel the country with her dad up to BC, so we'll talk a little bit about that series as well, obviously because it's part of it, but also the fun of them going and doing that. Plus, I'm a father now, so pay no mind if you get some random screams in the middle of this. That's just kind of how this is going to go for the next ever. All that to say, Gwen, my friend, how are you? Hello.
I'm good. How are you? Obviously, you're the one who has the bigger life change.
Well, you'd say that, but I am tired. That's the short answer of it. Tired is it. But hey, this is it's something different to do, so feels a little normal-ish, so that's good. I'll apologize in advance. I don't have very specific notes on this run of games, as I'm now 10 days into being a dad. So that's about half the games we have to cover today. So we'll do the best we can. But I mean, like you said, Gwen, things certainly on the rise in Tallahassee, I would say. So since our last episode, just to cover it overall, where you know where we're starting here, the run rule on both ends of a doubleheader against McNeese, a team we kind of both pegged early in the year as no slouch of a midweek game. You took 2 out of 3 at Louisville with a walk-off loss in game one, being the only loss in this run. Clean sweep of Notre Dame, 2-run rule victories over Alabama State, you sweep BC, and then last night's 12-3 run rule, 12-run inning against Florida in Gainesville, in what I think every national sports writer was kind of pegging as one Florida State absolutely kind of had to have, and they... Yeah. Just took it. I don't even know how else to say it. And I guess, what are your thoughts? What have you seen from the team, I guess, in the two series preceding that too, through now? Because they're on a run.
Yeah, so it's an 11 game win streak right now, which like is where exactly you want to be. I know a lot of fans, or just people in general, softball fans out there, Florida State fans, you know, at the beginning of the season, me and Brian joke about it all the time. Like, we're pressing the panic button very early on. And like, after we lost to Texas, it was like, how is this team going to make a regional? How are they going to get into the postseason? Like, how are they going to do anything moving forward? But I mean, since then, 11 game winning streak, and now we're in sole possession of the ACC. I think we have like a game or two up on Duke. So thank you, Virginia, for doing that. But yeah, I think they're obviously just peaking at the right time. And, you know, when things may look bleak in a game, like it kind of looked that way a little bit last night in the beginning innings and a game against Boston College, but I think they know how to like finish now.
Yeah, we talked about the key pieces, especially in the circle, being very young, and the lineup, though returning a lot, was still kind of figuring out what they were. Just by the way they were mixing and matching players so early in the year, and you've seen Florida State as the premier program that they are, and this morning seeing headlines on Twitter and not having anything to get behind the paywall. I'm sorry to D1 Softball and Softball America. I don't have the way around your paywall yet, but which is simple. It just pay for
I
it.
I do. Done you can use yeah. me as your outside.
There you go. Shh. No one heard that. But you know, everything I see there is this is what an elite program does. You know, you may look sluggish, but you're going to figure it out because you have the talent, you have the coaching, and you have the player development. I mean, they've, since that Texas game, they are 19-1. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that, yes, the competition isn't Texas. It's not Duke. It's not Alabama. But this is what you were supposed to do. This is what you needed to do. And I don't think any of us sat there at that point after Texas saying, well, of course they're going to rattle off 19 out of 20. Like, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. Like, you're probably thinking, well, hopefully they win like 12 and we'll be in a good spot. But no, they have adjusted and largely done it without Mikayla Edenfield and largely done it with pitching. I mean, the most runs they've allowed in that entire set of 14 games was 5 in the loss to Louisville. And like I said, that was the walk-off in game one. So, I mean, your pitching has really come around.
Yeah, and it's not just, I mean, it is just Ashton and McKenna for the most part, obviously, because we don't have Allison right now. But like last night, I think was a really great example. Like, you did not have to use McKenna at all, and you used Ashton for 3 outs. So, like, Mimi and Emma, like, got you the bulk of the game. And obviously, it was only 5 innings, but they got you to where you could get the big inning and not have to use anyone substantially moving forward. So, I think, Mimi and Emma in those positions is really great. Like, they are now more well primed for a big run, hopefully moving forward.
Yeah, the big inning was certainly one way to call it. They just kept scoring. It was insane. And I can see how you'd be like, well, you can't, that's not sustainable. You're not going to score 12 in an inning and win a game like that, but you still did it. I mean, like, they deserve the credit for doing it. Obviously, Florida with 3 errors in the game is not part of it. You only had 9 hits, but I mean, 12 runs is 12 runs. You're putting the ball in play, you're making them make plays, and you're really seeing growth. Jasoni Beachum. Jesus, I feel like everyone started to figure out that Issa Torres is just kind of on it. This team is really fun and impressive.
And I mean, now it came out this morning that Issa and Jasoni are finalists for top 25, or I think it's top 50 to start out with, freshman of the year candidates. So, like, they're being recognized nationally for what they're doing. And I mean, I'm sure there are some people in Oklahoma who are going to disagree with me, but like, I just don't know how Jasoni, like, I don't even think this is biased, truly. Like, I just don't know how Jasoni isn't freshman of the year, because I mean, she's almost at a 400 bat, I mean, 500 batting average right now. She's well above 400. Like, I just don't know how you get better than that,
Yeah,
honestly.
she's I got the list right here from the article. She's batting 444, 64 hits, 53 RBIs, 13 homers, and a 523 on base percentage.
Yeah,
Five
she
home
was
runs in the last 6 games go along with 11 RBIs. I
like,
mean,
just last night as an example, like, she was intentionally walked, but even though she was like 0-for-2 before that, and she was intentionally walked by Florida pitching, and then the next time they saw her, she obviously crushed a 3 or 2 run home run. So it's like, as a freshman and you're going 0-for up to that point, you're getting intentionally walked. Like, that's the level of respect that other teams have for you.
I don't think obviously we didn't expect this, but when you look at where we were 20 games ago, and I want to talk specifically on those two, people were saying, well, at this point, at least it's good you have the future figured out, right? These young players are playing well. It's much better that the future has arrived in such a way that the future is providing what you would hope they'd give you in the future now. That they are making such a meaningful impact now that they're elevating everything beyond. And like I mentioned, you're doing this without Mikayla Edenfield, which, let alone being your catcher as an important piece there, and we can talk about the change there and how maybe that's impacted the pitching. But I mean, that bat in your lineup too is gone, and you're still winning. You're still filling that role just fine because, Beachum's just taken over so well.
Yeah, and I think just talking a little bit more about the replacement of Mikayla Edenfield for the time being, I think I said this in our earlier pods this season, or like during the off season, that like I wanted Katie Dack specifically to, like, I wanted to see more out of her when she had the opportunity to get the bat in her hand, and like, that's truly what we've seen. Unfortunately, it's because of Mikayla Edenfield being out, but like, you have to step up if you're Katie Dack and Maddie Fry. And I think truly both of them have. I would like to see Maddie Fry kind of get the green light to hit for power a little bit more and not just lay a bunt down. But I think Katie Dack is really making the most out of what she's being given right now. And I really, that's the key to it, right? Like, yeah, we have two great catchers who can step up for Mikayla, but it's what they do in that time. And especially being a shared position right now between the two of them can be difficult, but they're making the most of what they need to do.
Well, we've seen it a lot this year, right? We've seen Kennedy Harp step up at times. We've seen all throughout the lineup where they're having to plug and play for an injury here or there, and they've figured it out. And that speaks to the depth and the growth of the younger players, the players who maybe Katie Dack's not a younger player, but a player who's kind of been waiting her turn. to stay ready and not already have 2 feet in the transfer portal or something and be like, oh, I didn't get my chance. And she's ready. And like, you know, I know you have been preaching for her to get chances more so, and to be ready to take advantage, I think speaks to not just who she is, but who the program is, and to keep players invested that maybe aren't getting opportunities that they probably thought they were getting when they transferred in.
Right. Yeah. And I think that just speaks to the overall. I mean, if you're a Florida State fan, you obviously feel the team culture and how things are run. But just the player buy-in, I think, is really special. And, you know, people like Katie Dack, like she had an amazing freshman year at Texas A&M. And it's very much shown that, like, she has had a down year or has less opportunities since coming over from Texas A&M. But she's here because she wants to be here and she feels it's a better fit for her. So,
So you got the trip to Boston College with your dad, hung out, got the whole weekend there, fun times, following along through Instagram stories. But how, what I guess was the vibe around this team? Obviously they were on this winning streak heading in there. Would have probably been like what, 7 games heading into that one. But I guess what was the vibe? How was it?
yeah, I mean, just like whenever me and my dad go to watch Florida State softball, we try our best to like stay in the team hotel because that's just fun for us. But we got that opportunity this weekend, and you know, being able to see the players outside of softball, I think they're very obviously it's like a limited time that I see them in these circumstances, but I think they're just very chill. Like it's not like they're pressing about Boston College the next day, or they're not pressing about, you know, we almost lost to Boston College. It's just like, okay, that game is over with, and we get to hang out and be ourselves outside of softball. But specific, spe sorry, speaking specifically about the game, I think it was the second game where they almost lost, and it was that seventh inning comeback type of game. You know, I was in the game thread the entire day, and there was a sense of worry of like, oh my God, we could potentially lose this game to Boston College, who earlier in the season lost to Pitt. So it's kind of like, what are we doing? But I mean, just being in the stands, and if you've ever really spent a game in Tallahassee or watching Florida State softball, like there's not a moment where the team is like not talking to each other positively, or you know, not encouraging each other when they're in a tough position. Like almost every half inning that I saw the team come back into the dugout during that game against Boston College, it was like, okay, let's go hit, like, let's go get it back. Let's go, you know, we got this, we can do this kind of talk. So it's not like they're ever down on themselves or seemingly down on themselves. Like they have the confidence. And I think right now is like just proving that exactly. They have the confidence to come back from truly whatever situation that they're finding themselves in.
As a premier program, I think there's this innate sense that you're gonna figure it out kind of no matter what. And I apologize, I draw on previous experiences and having gone to LSU and knowing people who went to LSU and played for the baseball team, worked with the baseball team, et cetera. That's a premier program in college baseball. And they, when I was in college, had many down years where they'd start slow. And as the year built, they'd figure it out. But there was talking to my friends who were there, friends who were playing. It was like, yeah, we're gonna figure it out. Like, we know we're good. We've done it so many times. This program just does this. It's fine. Like, well, we're fine. And no matter how panicked anyone was, it always kind of was like there's this sense of calm that it's just gonna come together. And I think Florida State, obviously softball is that. There's this, sure, the names change, the faces change, the things rotate. But when you look and coach is not panicked and you look around at the program, and I'm sure the walls are covered in days past of things, you're like, you know what? They went through the same thing. They you know, 2 years ago there was this, and 3 years before that, there was that. And you know, you've seen other people do it, and your uniform carries a certain prestige and like I'm capable because I'm here, that you feel a sense to that. And this when you're talking about like the sense of like, it's okay, we just handled our business and moved on. I think that's one thing that this program has lended to this team that is really beneficial. That I don't think it's not something that gets quantified, but it's something that's like, okay, we're Florida State. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. Like, we're on a win streak, and it's not like, oh gosh, we have to keep this going. It's just like, this is what we do. We're here, we're better, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's I think they just have a very good overall sense of like playing for right now and like worrying about just what's happening around you in the current moment and not like, oh my God, we have to go face Texas later this week and we just lost to Duke kind of thing. It's not like that sense of panic that's always there. Just from what I've witnessed, it's just, we're Florida State softball. We know we've had down years similar to this in the past and we've always come out on the other side of it. And I think they very much know that like adversity makes you better. Like they're not gonna sit there and cry or like be upset about like losing to Texas and like losing to Alabama and like this, down street that they were on in the middle of the season. It's like, okay, now we have a really good opportunity to go take the ACC and get a couple wins at Florida while we're at it. So, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because taking the ACC, I took notes on this, and there's not much left, right? There's 2 weeks left in the regular season. So, up for them is North Carolina at home this weekend. North Carolina, kind of middle of the pack this year in conference. They're 10 and 11 overall. They're 30 and 16. So, more struggles in conference and out. So, an important weekend here. You are one game up currently on Duke. You have one loss column, I guess, up on Duke. You have three losses. They have four. So does Virginia Tech, for what it matters. They also have four losses. Both those teams already one series ahead of you. So they both have just one conference series left. You've got two. So then you got Florida next week, another chance to potentially add to your regional host resume if you're kind of on that bubble. And then you have the trip to Syracuse to close out the regular season. Obviously, Syracuse. I don't know. I was trying to find a nice way to say it. Just not good. 5-13 in conference, 23-20 overall. Just a team you would like to sweep and probably should. The one thing I think you have to do here if you're going to try and win the ACC is you probably have to sweep. Duke is got NC State left. They got a week off where they host the ACC tournament. And then Virginia Tech, also there with four losses, has just Syracuse remaining, who I just said you should probably sweep. I'm assuming Virginia Tech is also thinking the same thing. So if everything goes chalk for Duke sweeping NC State, who's last in the conference, and Virginia Tech taking care of Syracuse, if you want to be first, I think you pretty much have to sweep your way through the next six conference games. Bear?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm just gonna, since you touched on the ACC, I'm just gonna touch on like the overall postseason picture. So before we played Florida, our like we have to have like a top 16 RPI, including the rankings, just to host. So like obviously right now we're at 16 for the overall rankings, but before Florida, our RPI was at 15. And now it's bumped all the way up to 11. So we're pretty solidly going to be a host. For at least regionals. D1 softball does bracketology. So if you aren't behind the paywall, I will tell you that I don't know if this was published before or after Florida. I can imagine it was before that we are a 15 seeded host matching up with number two Oklahoma. Don't come at me. That's just the way they did it. So I assume it will be rightfully updated. Whether that's in the coming days before North Carolina or after North Carolina, I don't know. But it has us hosting Delaware, Auburn, and South Alabama. Auburn, very hit or miss, truthfully. Like, I don't know how to feel about them ever. I'm assuming Delaware would be the automatic bid out of the conference. I don't know that they're in. So,
CAA.
yes, that's what it was. And then South Alabama, not a slouch of a team. They've made, like, I think they just upset Mississippi State this week, or like they have multiple upsets so far this season, and they have an ace who will do it. So, I mean, South Alabama is definitely rightfully a three seed. I would kind of maybe argue a two seed, but they're giving that to Auburn. So,
They're 32nd in RPI to
yeah.
South Alabama is. So yeah, not a slouch at all in the Sun Belt. A good team, a great, you mentioned it, right? With this some strong wins. Oddly enough, 6-8 at home, 14
Yeah.
and one on the road. Funny enough, I don't know. It's definitely gonna be interesting to see how that plays out. As you mentioned, 11th in RPI right now. You're behind A&M, Missouri, UCLA, Tennessee, Stanford, Duke, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas. I imagine at this point Oklahoma and Texas are pretty much going to be a 1-2 situation. I don't see how anyone's catching them there.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I think it's pretty solidly going to be, unless Oklahoma wins the Big 12 or like something crazy happens in the Big 12 tournament, I think it's going to be 1 and 2 overall for Texas and Oklahoma. So, kind of just if you're Florida State, you're wanting to avoid maybe the 15, definitely the 15 seed if Oklahoma is number two. And then I don't know how people feel about a rematch with Texas, but I feel better about it than, 3 weeks ago. But maybe just kind of avoiding the 15 and 16 seed, but we'll see.
Yeah, that'd probably be the ideal thing to do is avoid that spot and try to move up. You're 11 in RPI. Like you mentioned, we'll see what that updated D1 softball looks like when they do those updates. Normally, I think they're Monday updated, if I'm right. Could be Tuesday, but I mean, I imagine as we get closer to the tournament here, they're going to be more frequently updated and things like that. And I wonder your perspective on heading into this ACC tournament. You don't get to control the future, unfortunately.
Right.
But if you did, would you rather they end up in the ACC tournament as the one overall seed ACC champion, or would you prefer them going in as a two seed to potentially get two cracks at a top 25 RPI win with maybe if you're the two seed and Virginia Tech's the three, you get a game against them and then a championship game against Duke potentially? Would you rather just be the one and roll through to kind of get to the ACC tournament title game and figure it out from there?
I think maybe I'm 50-50 on this. I don't really know. It kind of just feels like splitting hairs, but I think just in terms of rest and preparation, because that's kind of the way to go for the postseason. Like you want as much rest time and you want as much preparation time for whoever you're playing. So if you're the one seed, like you do kind of get to just sit back and watch everyone else knock each other around for a little bit before you have to play potentially a Duke or a Virginia Tech. So I want to say that way to go, but it's also like if you play the Dukes and the Virginia Techs, you get that more quality experience than you've had the last couple weeks. But at this point, I just feel like the team is rounding out to what they know they are going to be moving forward. So it's like, how much more can Virginia Tech and Duke in an extra game or two really help if you're the two seed? But I want to say just being the one seed and kind of resting and preparing for what's to come.
And earning a regular season championship. Worst case scenario, you end up in the fourth. Yeah, if you're one, you play a 4-5 matchup champion or matchup winner, presumably. Clemson, currently the four, is 22nd in RPI, and Virginia's 29th. So it's really not a huge difference. So probably just, again, you don't control the future, but I figured I'd just ask.
Sorry to interrupt you,
No, go
but
ahead.
plus if you're the one seed and like you get matched up with Duke, like you know what Duke is. Like you've seen them for three games, you did take a game from Duke. I've said this, I think the last podcast, like
They're a
I'm
terrible
not
team.
scared of Duke. I
Amazing
maybe I
team.
should be, but I'm just not. I have confidence that they can play Duke well if we see them again. Maybe someone will figure that out for us and take Duke out of the equation. But you know, you haven't, I mean, Clemson is what Clemson is. Like they're not what they were last year by any means. So, but we also haven't played them this season. We haven't played Virginia Tech either. So it's, I would rather take my shot with a team we already know than a team that we seemingly kind of don't.
I think that's totally fair. No clue again when our next show will be, probably around ACC tournament time, either right before or shortly thereafter. Maybe, I guess it depends how things go, honestly. That would probably be the easiest thing and how things go here at the Homestead. Last question for you before I ask you one other question. Anything overall with this team that we didn't talk about you wanted to touch on? Maybe Ashton's development or anything there that really stands out?
Yeah, I guess I can speak a little on Ashton. Like when I was at Boston College, and maybe this was just me being there to like realize it. Maybe she's been doing it and I just haven't been paying close enough attention type of thing. But I really like when I was in Boston, like, and I was watching Ashton pitch. Like she was, we know she's a down ball pitcher. Like that's kind of her MO. But like y effectively using, and this is also Boston College. So it's like, what is the real story here, but just effectively using her changeup for a first pitch strike to get ahead, like I think really set her up for success. And it made her more confident moving forward. Like we've always seen Ashton like get better as she goes on. And I think thing like little things like that are helping her, you know, get ahead and staying confident in what she's throwing. Yeah, that was one thing that really stood out to me when I was up at Boston College was like Ashton is getting these first pitch strike calls on a changeup. And it's really setting her up for the rest of the at bat and feeling like she can confidently move forward.
Any other thing that stands out that you missed?
Gosh, I don't think so.
Okay.
Think
Last
we
thing before we let you off with the hook here. Since our last show, Taylor Swift released a double album. I need your two favorite songs.
have... Okay, let me pull up Spotify. I was just listening at work.
Okay. All right.
I
Those
don't.
keeping track at home, this is the Tortured Poets Department, she released the album. last Friday, and then at 2 a.m. released a second half of the a double album, like another album, just more 15 more songs, just because we didn't have enough before.
I also just opened up Spotify and it's telling me I was in the first 10% of streams for Torture Poets Department.
Look at you, go to
So
work.
I like as soon as I landed in Boston, it came out. So I was like truly one of the first people to listen. So I like Down Bad, it's good. I
Spot on.
also really like I'm Gonna Get You Back off the like second set of songs.
Yes, it's good.
And I like Fortnite.
I haven't seen many actually say they liked Fortnite. Or like, were willing to say it's one of their favorites.
Yeah, I mean,
I
I just don't think I personally don't think this is like gonna be my top five favorite Taylor Swift albums, unfortunately. It's
I
good.
am I have two favorite genres of music. It is trap rap and sad girl music, and this is writing
Great.
sad girl music, and so it's all about I'm all about it. It's just great. I really like all of it the whole way through. I would say Down Bad's my favorite, would
Yeah.
be where I'm at.
What are your other ones?
I like so many. Guilty as Sin, I really like. I find myself walking around the house all the time being like, what if you rent mine on my up? I'm singing it all the time. It's just there's so many earworms I found in here that like I just walk around and I can't do it. So there's so many. But yeah, 31, it's so many. I'm trying to keep up and I like every time I'm like, wait, I don't think I've heard this one yet, or I haven't. This feels brand new, even though I've heard it probably like six times, but I'm actually like intently actually listening to one finally. It's a lot.
Yeah, I need to definitely sit down and like re-listen to everything again because I was like doing a lot, but also listening. So I have to just like sit down and actually commit to listening again.
Really intense. And I talked to my sister about it. She's like, you got to go back and listen to this one, the meaning here, and listen to that. I'm like, okay, all right, I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm on it. I'm on it. Taking notes. So for sure. All that to say, thanks, Gwen.
Thank you.
Like I said, probably next show will be sometime ACC tournament before or after, depending on how games go and how I am surviving as a new dad. But until then, that's a wrap.